You are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
I want to talk to you about being a man of honor. Our world is in need of men of honor, our nation. The Bible says when the righteous are in positions of government, then righteousness and peace will reign in our nation. How many of you know and believe that God will raise up righteous leaders over South Africa? Ezekiel 22 verse 30, the Bible says, I sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. 2 Chronicles 6 verse 9, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. I believe we're living in a time where God is looking, searching the planet, looking for men to stand up and to rise up and be counted. I'm sure you'd agree this morning that we are living in an urgent hour. More than ever, we need men of honor in our world, in our nation. We cannot be asleep to the urgency of the hour that we find ourselves in. The urgency in our nation. Everybody can sit on the sideline and criticize, but true men engage in life in the time that they find themselves in, like the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel was supposed to do. Like CRC, we're not going to sit on the sideline and criticize everybody. We will do whatever we can to engage our world, to make our world a better place. More challenges than ever facing humanity. Think about the refugee crisis. Think about poverty, AIDS pandemic. Think about the suffering in our world, more orphans than ever. Think about this nation. Every time you switch on television, you find something negative. Global terrorism on the increase. So as men, we cannot always be looking the other way and point a finger. As men, I believe more than ever, we are called to engage our world. Somebody say engage. As men, we were created to be the providers and the protectors of our family, of our world, of our nation, of our church, and of our community. As men, we are called to be leaders in our families, leaders in our church, and leaders in our world. We have been appointed and anointed by God for leadership as men. And all the brothers this morning say, hurrah. Hurrah. Come on, let's try it again. One, two, three. Hurrah. Amen. We're going to get the testosterone going a little bit here this morning. So when men are strong, churches are strong. Families are secure. Communities are safe. And the world is made a better place. More than ever, we need righteous leadership in positions of authority. For the Bible says, through righteousness, a nation is exalted. So we need to pray that God will raise up men after a heart of God in positions of government. We have to pray and not criticize the leaders in this nation. More than ever, men need to take their role as fathers in the family, in the church, in the workplace, and in their communities. More than ever, I believe that righteous men, that's you this morning, must become the pace setters in the world. Pace setters in communities. Men must step up and become the builders of a new South Africa. Builders of communities. Because your calling is to be a protector. Your calling as a man is to be a provider. When God created Adam, God immediately instructed him to guard the garden. To protect the garden, the world that we find ourselves in. To engage in our nation, South Africa. To engage people one-on-one. To engage on different forums wherever we can. To be the salt and the light that Jesus speaks about. It is our time to stand for our God unashamedly. And all the brothers say, to stand up for justice. To stand against social injustice and all forms of evil. If good men say and do nothing, we know that evil will prevail. Shallow men believe in luck, but strong men believe in cause and effect, Ralph Waldo Emerson said. I love the man that can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. It is the business of little minds, listen, to shrink, But he whose heart is firmly set upon his God and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principles to change his world even unto his death. My message this morning, very simply, because of the urgency of the hour, we find ourselves in this nation, being a man of honor. What does it mean? I know you can take 100 principles, but I've chosen 5 as I believe they are applicable for us as men in this nation, in our church where we are right now. And listen to me this morning, you will not be a good man or a good father until you are a good man. So being a man, functioning as a man, taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, talking like a man, walking like a man, working like a man, are qualities that your father bestowed upon you. Come on, male by birth, man by choice. We should not apologize for being men. We should not apologize for being rough and tough at times. We should not apologize for being who God made us to be. Come on, he made us to be men. When we were born, we turned everything into a weapon. Today, men largely have lost their fighting spirit. And many men, through a feminist spirit in the church, all they can do is do the can-can on the platform. But when it comes to fighting the battles out there, they cannot fight any longer. You are a man. You are called by God to be a man. You are designed by God to be a man. You are called by God to be a warrior. You are called by God to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Come on, to take over and not to roll over. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, the brothers, shout amen. Or hoorah or something in this place. Hallelujah. Number one, men of honor are strong and courageous. They are men with backbone of steel. They are full of grit and determination. No guts, no glory. Amen. I don't feel like going to work today. That's not a man. You better go look in the mirror again and see who God made you to be. You are a lion. I don't feel I can overcome. You better go take a look in the mirror because you were created in the image of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Come on. You are a man. You are created in the image of God. You are created to be strong. You are created to be courageous. The world needs men that will stand their ground no matter what, even if they are the last man standing, that will stand on their commitments, that will be courageous when it's unpopular. Men who will stand for what is right and stand against what is wrong. Because if you stand for nothing, as a man, you will fall for anything. Strength is a matter of a made-up mind. A lot of people go through life. Today they believe this. Tomorrow they believe that. Today they support the Stormers. Oh, no. Tomorrow. Today they love the pastor, Hosanna. Tomorrow they sit and they crucify. Men, you know, we grew up in our world where men were men. Your yes was your yes. You didn't betray your friends. You did not turn against your friends. You did not leave your best friends. You were a man. Your word was your honor. We need men. David, when Goliath challenged the nation of Israel, when everybody ran away and sat behind the safety of their computers and tweeted, David was the one that went to the battleground to take out Goliath because he knew Goliath would enslave the nation. So if good men say and do nothing, evil will prevail. So wake up as a man. It's your time to be strong. It's your time to stand up for God. To be strong for God and for God's kingdom. To be strong in the purpose that God placed you for on this earth. To be strong in your faith. To fight the good fight of faith. No matter what life throws at you. No matter how many times you are beaten. No matter how many times you fall down. Quitting is not part of your resume. You got the quit out of you. Hallelujah. You've learned to get back up again. You've learned to bounce back in the name of Jesus. You've learned to keep on keeping on when other people are quitters. Come on. Somebody say amen in this place. Hallelujah. You're not a quitter. You don't quit on your marriage. You don't quit on your wife. You don't quit on yourself. You don't quit on your dream. You don't quit on your church. You don't quit on your government. You don't quit on your nation because you are a man created in the image of God. Come on. You are not a quitter. You are a man that God created to be for this time. So men of honor are men that got the quit out of them. Listen to me. All men fall down, but it's how you get up that matters. It's those that get up that make history. We could all fall down, like Humpty Dumpty and fall to pieces and never be put back together again. Oh, we can get back up again as men in the name of Jesus Christ and be everything God called us to be and pursue our dreams, hallelujah, and pursue our God in this world. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. The most natural thing to do when you fall down is to get back up again. You better get some Holy Ghost grit and determination on the inside of you and let go of these feelings. I don't feel anointed. I don't feel like I can. You better believe that you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a man created in the image of God. Come on. If God meant for me to be a Springbok rugby player, by the grace of God, I will be that Springbok rugby player. Come here. Hello, high water. I'm not settling for second best. Come on. Somebody say amen. Bible says a good man may fall seven times and seven times rise again. As a man, you have to learn to get up again because things will knock you down unexpectedly. But true men get up again. When everybody stays down, they get up again. When everybody criticizes you, they keep on keeping on. That's a man. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1, since God has so generously let us in on what he's about to do, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job. So when we get setbacks, we don't give up. When we don't know, we keep on. When we feel battered, we keep on. Set your face as flint. You don't go collapse in front of your wife. You gather yourself before you get home and you look at your wife and say, honey, things are going to be better. Honey, things are going to be better. Honey, we're going to make it. Come on, somebody in the house, shout hurrah in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says in verse 8, Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we are surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. Men of honor don't get demoralized. Everybody thinks about quitting, but men of honor don't quit. Everybody has feelings of discouragement, but men of honor do not become demoralized. They do not begin to shuffle along in life. They amen. The harder life becomes, the harder they become. Because tough times don't last, but tough men do. Come on, say amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You have to recover yourself in God's presence if you're going to recover what the devil steals in your life. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God has not left us. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. We may have some battle scars, but we're still on our feet, and we're still ready to fight and live another day and climb another mountain. Come on, and take more territory for God. We may have some scars, but we're still on our feet. Come on, with an optimistic spirit, the same spirit of faith, according to what is written. We believe, therefore we speak. We also believe, and therefore do we speak. Like David, when he came to Ziklag and found his home burned, and his wives and children taken captive. Bible says they fell to the ground and they wept so much that they had no strength left. But the Bible says even David's men turned against him and spoke about stoning him. It's the first thing people do in a crisis, they look for somebody to crucify. The Bible says, but David strengthened him in the Lord. When you go through failure, or you make a mistake, or you fall down, you find yourself on the ground, you better know where to look. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I want to tell every man here today that God has not forgotten you, that God has not given up on you, that your dreams will still come to pass. The promises of God are still yea and amen. You've got to believe it. Come on, you've got to look up, because when you look up, you will get up. You've got to look up because he's the glory and the lifter of your head, because when you see Jesus, you will find strength in your heart. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a praise in the house. Hallelujah. So listen to me this morning, my brother. Without courage, you will never possess your dream. Courage is the inherent ability to control and suppress fear and its disturbing influences in your life. You have to remain courageous. Three times God commands Joshua before he possesses the promised land. God commands him to be strong and very courageous. That's not an option. Be strong. Get back to that battle. Get back to that business. Get back to that business deal. Get back to that prayer closet. Be strong and be very courageous. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on your dream. Be strong and be very courageous. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, bump the man that is sitting next to you with respect and say, finally, be strong in Jesus' name. Better to be a strong man with a weak point than to be a weak man without a strong point. Hallelujah. A diamond with a flaw is more valuable than a brick without a flaw. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a good quote. Come on, you can tweet that. Hallelujah. Number two, men of honor are men of integrity. They are men of truth. Yes is yes, no is no. They have the courage to stand for their convictions. When they say to their wives, I do, 30 years later, they still mean, I do, until death do us part. They are men who keep their vows, their commitments, and their promises. If they say to another, I'm with you for life, 30 years later when you look, that man is still there. They are not fickle. They are men, men of honor. Psalm 25 verse 21, the Bible says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Proverbs 11 verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide him. Walking in integrity means we walk in the truth. It means we walk in the light as he is the light. We do business in the light. Whatever we pay our taxes in the light. Whatever we do is in the light. There are no gray areas. Walking in integrity means we are men who cannot be bought. We cannot be bribed and corrupted. Say amen. Amen. They are men whose word is their bond. They are men who put character above their personal wealth. They are men who will be honest in small things as in great things. Oftentimes it's in the little things that people think God is not watching, and those are the tests that God graduates people in. Honesty, integrity, uprightness, truth, wherever you are, where no one is watching like a Joseph, know that God is watching not to condemn you, but to reward you, to bless you. There are men who are not ashamed to stand for truth even when it's unpopular. Number three. Men of honor are men of compassion. They might be tough on the outside, but they're gentle and soft on the inside. They are loving and caring toward their families, toward their church, towards their community. They do not slander the family. They do not attack their brothers and their sisters. They are the defenders of the faith, leading with love, grace, and mercy. They do not live selfish, self-centered lives. They do not look the other way, but they live with the intent as the Good Samaritan to make this world a better place. You may see a million people and it's the one person that just jumps out at you that the Holy Ghost wants you to assist. Maybe a young student and your kids, you've paid the fees for your children. You're established and God shows you this one child and God says, put that child through the university. Compassionate. Not living your life in your castle and forgetting about the whole world. Men of honor, what we need in this nation are men of compassion. Men who see the needs and men who are moved. Like Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, the Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Although God wants you to succeed, and the prayer of Jabez that God wants to enlarge your territory, while God enlarges your territory, never forget your purpose, which is to be blessed so you can be a blessing, to alleviate the pain and the suffering, to be the good Samaritan, to be a father to the orphans, and to take care of widows in their need. That is why we are here, to be the guardians of our community, the righteous standard of God, not just church doctrine and philosophy, but works of mercy, works of compassion. Be a man who gets it. Understand the time that you are finding yourself in. I know many of you are fighting just to survive, but maybe you'll get through your battles quicker and easier when you don't just fight for yourself, but you fight for other people as well. You fight for the plight of the poor. You fight for social injustice. Come on, you become a man that is on a mission to take care of your family, but also to take care of the underprivileged in our world. Children. Those who don't have jobs. I've said this many times. If you woke up this morning 30 years old, you had a wife and two children to feed, and you've not been able to get a job for the last 3 years, what would you do? I'm not advocating turn to crime. I'm saying if we are not where other people are, we never know how other people feel. And compassion demands that you take time out and that you understand. I mean, Stephen Covey, who's not even a Christian, wrote in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, listen with a view to understand. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. Everybody has an opinion. Shut up! There's enough opinions flying around. Can somebody just shut up and listen? Men of honor are generous. It ties in with compassion. Their hearts are warm, their hands are open. Isaiah 32 verse 8, a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. They live to be a blessing. They are generous with their love. They are generous with their affirmation. Generous with their words, with their kindness, with their actions, with their resources. They are generous towards the house of God. Generous towards their wives and children. Not he's got the latest golf set and his wife, you know, hasn't been blessed with a new dress in the last 10 years. Amen. They are generous towards their community. They are givers and not takers. They are builders and not breakers. Watch what you say. Number five, closing, men of honor are family men. They love family. They love their family. They love God's family. They protect the family. Family is everything. Their wives and their children, but their extended family as well. Their fathers, their mothers, their heavenly family as well. Their brothers and their sisters. They defend their family with fierce loyalty. I've been at so many funerals where or people that deceased passed away, and before the person is even in the ground, the children are fighting about the inheritance. Sad. The father is still alive and the father is put in a little place somewhere so that the child can take what is the father's. Honor your parents. It's the only commandment with a promise of long life. While your parents are alive, you should honor them all the days of your life. Make sure that your mother and your father are well taken care of. Can you say amen? Amen. So they honor their parents, they love their wives, and they raise their children in the ways of God. No matter how big you are in business, whatever you do, you are first a husband and a father and a Christian. You have responsibility. To be a faithful husband and lover of your wife, to be a loving, caring father to your children, your first responsibility is to provide and to protect. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. And all those in junior you this morning, shout amen. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Ephesians 6 verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. So before anything else, you love your wife, and all the brothers say, you take care of your children, all the brothers say, and you protect the church, and all the brothers say. Two examples in the Bible of those who were not good fathers. Eli could run the temple but could not run his own house. 1 Samuel 3:13, for I've told him, God speaks to Samuel about the judgment about to come upon Eli. He says that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. He lost the priesthood because he did not order his children in the ways of God. When your kids cross the line, it's your responsibility as the father to say, no, no, no. I want to go on a date tonight. No, no, no. But daddy, I want to go on a date tonight. No, no, no. Even if mommy comes as the cheerleader. She wants to go on a date tonight. She wants to go on a, all her friends are going on a date tonight. Daddy has to stand. No, no, no. But elke man het 'n plan. No, no, no. You don't want to take my daughter because you'll see me now and you see me no more. Amen. So they're just not ready for certain things. Amen. May God bless you. May God enlarge you. May God be real to you. May you see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Because Isaiah, when he stood in the presence of God, he heard the cry from the Father's heart. Whom will I send? Our world is in need. Our world is a broken place. Men, we have the key. Let's not fight one another. We have the answer. Let's man up. Let's stand up. And take responsibility for the vision of the house. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. For God's kingdom, for our families, for our children, for social justice, and help people in our world. Think what we can do together. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving, please. You've come here today, you don't know Jesus. You've never experienced the love that God has for you. Sitting there in Bloemfontein, Johannesburg, East Rand, Pretoria, on the special day today. Maybe you have no peace with God. If you die today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. You cannot say this morning, Pastor, I'm a child of God. If I died, I know I'll go to heaven. You're sitting in this place today. You say, I need God's mercy. I need forgiveness. I need a new beginning. Then quietly, wherever you are, unashamedly, please, just raise your hand quickly. Slip your hand up quickly. I want to say a prayer for you all over this place. Raise it up high, unashamedly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise it up high, 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 all over this place. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Hands everywhere. Raise it up. Come on. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Come home to Jesus this morning. Give yourself to Jesus. So right now, I want you to take your Bible, your personal belongings, whatever you brought to church. Leave the seat wherever you are. Come down the aisle closest to you. I want to pray for you right here at the altar. Come on, God's going to touch you. God's going to give you a new beginning today. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power to be a child of God. Thank you for loving me and for accepting me just as I am. I give myself to you. Thank you for a new life. Thank you for a new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.